This is Kevin Swanson, and I plan to use National Driver Training Institute's program for my son, Daniel. Parent-directed driver training has proven to be the most effective training process in the United States. National Driver Training Institute's program, Help for the Teenager Who Wants to Drive, continues to be on the front lines protecting parents' rights and freedoms for driver education and training. This program, Help for the Teenager Who Wants to Drive, is approved in Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, and many other states. Your teenager can start the process at 15 years of age and receive his license by 16. HB 1235 in Colorado had no effect on National Driver Training Institute's program, Help for the Teenager Who Wants to Drive, because this is a full formal driver education program. This course is recognized by every insurance company in Colorado and approved for home study by the state of Colorado. Programs start just under $100, and you will have everything you need to create a safe driver for life. Call National Driver Training Institute at 800-942-2050. That's 800-942-2050. Or visit them on the web at nationaldrivertraining.com. That's nationaldrivertraining.com. Let them know that you heard it right here on Generations.
Reformation Church is sponsoring Generations Radio because we have a passion for renewing truth and relationships in a lost and lonely world. In this nation, we find the family disintegrating, morality is on the decline, the culture is embracing nihilism and existentialism, and yet church attendance remains as high as ever. Is the humanist culture impacting the church, or is the church impacting a humanist culture? At Reformation Church, we want to see the church make an impact on culture. That's why we encourage churches everywhere to bring a biblical worldview and a biblical view of ethics back to this culture. As pastors preach the Word of God, Christians everywhere should be taking Old and New Testament and applying it to politics, economics, education, art, and culture. And one more thing, we also want to see relationships renewed. Instead of fragmenting the family by the way we structure our church education and family life, let's reintegrate the family. Let's put a value on church relationships by engaging in hospitality. And let's reintegrate the family by building up relationships within the family. This is our vision at Reformation Church in Castle Rock, Colorado, and for hundreds of other churches throughout Colorado. Visit our website at www.reformationchurch.com.
Welcome to Generations, my friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. The reason I'm here in my basement broadcasting to some 70 countries around the world is because I'm a father of five. We've got a vision for faith, for family, and freedom in the 21st century. And Dave, maybe we should explain to the audience why things are a little different today. I'm coming out of surgery, and here I am laying on the couch doing my broadcasting thing, and you're up there where you usually are.
I'm seated up high, yes. People should realize that Kevin's in his pajamas. He's laying down. He's unshaven. If it weren't for the pain, he'd be having a great day.
The IBU's helping me, though. Vitamin I is what I'm moving into. I was doing Tylenol last week. I think IBU is doing a little more for me, so we're going to stick with that for now. Okay, enough of this drug stuff. Well, today we want to talk about mixed marriages, mixed cultural marriages, mixed racial marriages, and the bell curve. Dave, you may have remembered the book produced by Richard Hermstein and Charles Murray back in 1994 called The Bell Curve.
Oh, made a huge to-do in the press because they didn't like it.
Well, you know, it made some good points, but I don't think the points were made well enough, and let me explain to you what I mean. The book explained the idea that intelligence is a much better predictor of many factors, including financial income, job performance, unwed pregnancy, crime, et cetera, than parents' socioeconomic status or education level. That is, intelligence was important, is what they were trying to say in this book. Also, they thought that those with high intelligence, they called it the cognitive elite, which, by the way, don't particularly like that very much. It seems very snobbish to me. Anyway, that the high intelligent folks are becoming separated from the general population of those with average and below average intelligence, and that was a dangerous social trend. Much of the controversy surrounded chapters 13 and 14 in the book The Bell Curve, because the authors wrote about the enduring racial differences in intelligence and discussed implications of those differences. However, they didn't argue the differences were genetic. Now, whether or not they were genetic, I'm not sure it was an issue. But here are some of my comments on the bell curve. Number one, Dave, as we have said on this program before, intelligence really is not the best predictor of financial income, job performance, unwed pregnancy, and crime, et cetera, et cetera. Intelligence, effectively, is not the most important thing. That is inbred intelligence, nor is education all that important. That is somebody getting their PhD, et cetera, et cetera. But ultimately, morality and character are even more important. And, of course, we derive that from the Word of God because, again, the presuppositions on this program is that God is very smart. He created the universe. He created you and I. And he knows a lot about people, okay, because he made them. So we assume that God knows what he's talking about. And if you look at the book of Proverbs, what you find is that intelligence or knowledge isn't something that's separated from character. You can't just take a knife and sever knowledge away from character and really get something of substance. Now, more often than not, somebody who is knowledgeable or wise is certainly a man of character. But the Bible says that faith, trust in God, and character, diligence, honesty, etc., are absolutely critical if you're going to live a moral life. And if your society is going to be successful in what it's doing.
Well, I think that you could say that intelligence is a contributing factor to success if we define intelligence correctly. One of the problems is defining intelligence. We have IQ tests. Now, those were originally designed by people like Margaret Sanger in order to find those little weeds of society that we need to trample out. Intelligence is largely a factor of those who are diligent at building their intelligence. That happens within a culture that honors God. That's why the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Why is it that some cultures, Asian cultures, for instance, in the book The Bell Curve, have more people higher on the intelligence curve than other cultures? In other words, why is a culture that honors family, according to these tests, smarter than cultures where family is broken up into pieces?
In other words, Dave, they're not going to ultimate causal factors. They're finding a causal factor, but they're not determining the causal factor. You remember the fifth commandment, which says, honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you in the land, that it may go well with you economically, that it may go well with you in your culture, that it may go well with you in your education systems, et cetera, et cetera. See, the Bible always connects the character issues. And, you know, you don't see that in the bell curve. And, Dave, I think that's the Christian spin on this thing. And we got to get back to it. Character is what builds a people. Character is what determines what happens with nations. Character is what's absolutely critical in the development of educational systems. And, of course, that's why my book, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child Upgrade, talks about character as preeminent in education.
Well, Kevin, I think we have yet to define what intelligence is. That's part of the point. There are artists out there who are very intelligent with their art. However, they're very foolish with their finances, and they might not be able to solve a math problem. There are those who are very intelligent in math who are extraordinarily foolish in some of the everyday things of life. The IQ test is a bias test that was designed in order to favor one people over another to show superiority. The scriptures, as far as I know, don't use the word intelligence. They like the word wisdom, and they like the word knowledge. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul says there's two systems of knowledge, and there's one that is based on knowing God, and that's a whole different system than the knowledge base of men, which is based only at looking at God's creation. You can look at creation and learn many, many things. Don't get me wrong. But you can't learn the most important things, and that is who God is and what his plan of redemption is. And therein lies the beginning of the fear of the Lord and wisdom, which is, I would say, ultimate intelligence, because the intelligent one has said, this is the beginning of it.
Yeah. Dave, I think you just nailed it when you said, hey, the IQ test is not the metric we want to use. But ironically, the IQ test is the metric that ultimately conforms to a bell curve. I mean, you know, in order to establish a bell curve, they establish the IQ test. But see, I don't think the IQ test, the nationally standardized test, which, by the way, is required in Colorado for homeschoolers, like our children take the nationally standardized test. I think it's the Iowa Basic Skills Test they take every other year here in this state. But these sorts of tests are far too narrow, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of looking at human endeavor and achievement. Now, you can fit the IQ test, the nationally standardized test, into a nice little bell curve. But I'm not sure God really created people to fit into our nice little bell curves. God didn't intend for us to live in a bell curve society. But the less slave-based the society becomes in its economic system, I think the less interested we become in the bell curve metrics. In other words, there are some people with lower IQs. No question about it. Think about it. A child with Down syndrome or something may have a lower IQ according to the IQ test and would be on the minus 2, minus 3 sigma on that particular bell curve. But people with low IQs often play a very important role in the family and in church life. Now, see, I'm sure that they might be considered worthless in a simplistic economic model where everybody has to contribute to the Marxist socialist economy, okay? But there are some very sweet children with low IQs that are precious to family and church. In other words, they play a very important part in the social model. And they don't work their way into a nice little bell curve and contribute to society at an economic level where, you know, a Marxist might be expecting somebody to contribute, but they do contribute. And, Dave, I think this is what we lose when we begin to kind of reduce everything to this bell curve.
Well, I think one of the things that you said there is that they don't contribute economically. And I think that betrays that in our hearts we're all a little bit Marxist. We look at the world as an economic system. Are they contributing to the gross national product? How much are they consuming, et cetera, et cetera? In God's economy, it is, what gives me glory? And see, some of these people who have Down syndrome, et cetera, God uses for his glory in ways that intelligent people can't do. We have little Simon at our church. Now, Simon was born with some what we typically call birth defects. There were some issues, and Simon can't speak. He can make noises. He reacts. But I am convinced that Simon's role in giving God glory is maybe greater than yours and not mine combined, because it's out of the mouths of babes and infants that God has ordained strength because of his enemies. And Simon has the blessing of always being that infant. You see, in God's economy, it's glory, not dollars.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, getting back to a biblical perspective on the differences that, and they're beautiful differences, where God has created us with a tremendous diversity because he likes it that way. In a moment, we're going to talk about races, ethnic, cultural differences between us, and how that impacts the way we look at each other. That's next on Generations. This is Kevin Swanson. Be back in a moment.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned. And they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org.
Back on Generations, friends, this is Kevin Swanson with you, and today, talking about the bell curve and differences that exist in races, because God put it that way. And God doesn't intend for us to live life according to the bell curve. But, Dave, I think one of the reasons I'm doing this program is because we have received a little bit of flack from websites that are opposed to interracial marriage. Okay, now, I realize this isn't real common, but it exists, and we've gotten some flack out there because of our association with some people who adopt interracially, and because there is some interracial marriage in our midst. For example, me. I married Brenda, who is half Japanese, and we have a wonderful marriage, and praise God for my wife. It's a beautiful marriage. I couldn't imagine anything better than this wonderful marriage I had. And yet there are Christians out there, Dave, that apparently are opposed to the idea of mixing cultures and mixing races in the same family. Now, of course, you got to go against the word of God if you're to do that. You think of Boaz. Remember, Boaz married Ruth, and Joseph down in Egypt picks up an Egyptian princess, and he marries, I believe, the daughter of a priest. And then you have Moses, who married another, I think, Ethiopian woman, if I'm not mistaken. So you have these examples in Scripture where most definitely there are interracial marriages, and the Bible doesn't think twice about them.
Well, not only that, the Bible doesn't recognize race. The Bible recognizes families. Yeah. And to the extent that one family does something different than another family, and that gets passed on for generations and maybe gets amplified, there are differences. Now, you cannot have a marriage anymore that is not cross-family. There's going to be cultural differences because I'm not marrying my sister. Yeah. You see, so I'm going to go to somebody else's family. Now, they may have different color eyes or different color hair or different color skin, but the big difference of the culture of the family doesn't matter because God's going to make two one. Now, the Bible doesn't ever recognize races. In fact, that's just not a rubric that Scripture uses. There was only a handful of people on the ark, and we're all descendant of those handful of people. And, you know, so the Bible doesn't really talk about races. In terms of your wife being half Japanese, you might look at her and associate her with people who live in Japan, but it looks to me like your wife is all Swanson.
Well, and Dave, I've known a lot of people who have adopted interracially, and boy, I assume that they have been some of the happiest families, some of the best integrated families. I mean, we're talking some families, red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. These families have adopted a huge number of children from various backgrounds, and they have integrated beautifully. In fact, my brother has adopted two Korean children. And I asked him last night on the phone, I says, so, Tim, tell me, do you think that it's easier to adapt to an adoption within your own skin color and ethnic background or another? He says there's absolutely no difference, Kev. There's no difference at all. No, none, none, none. Because, see, love transcends big time, Dave. And I think this is the point that all the bell curve guys and all of the folks that are always hypersensitive to racial differences don't understand. When it comes down to love, especially the love that comes into the life of somebody who recognizes he's been loved by God himself, okay, so somebody who actually is enjoying the love of God and is experiencing the love of God and is applying the love of God in his own home, Dave, love can transcend all cultures, I believe.
Well, Kevin, my sister adopted three black children. She has three boys of natural birth and three by adoption. And I will tell you that the three black children are no less intelligent, no less diligent, no less loving than her three natural children. And maybe they're a little bit more loving because they got something more to be grateful for. I believe that the difference between what happens in a community called the black community and what happens with quote-unquote black children who are adopted into a Christian home is those in the Christian home have a secure learning environment, they have involved parents, and they learn the fear of God, which was the beginning of wisdom. You see, the character is developed by nurture. It wasn't in the genes. You don't get a little gene for character. You don't get a diligence gene. You don't get a sloth gene. What you get is a physical package, and parents pour in that nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they teach a child the way that it should go. And God doesn't care if you're red, yellow, black, or blue. You know, Jesus can love whatever you are, too.
You're a poet, Dave. I didn't realize you had that ability. You know, Dave, I think there is a nature element to it, though. I mean, I think there's nature and nurture, and the point you made, though, is just as powerful. Nurture can compensate for any nature problem we inherited from Adam or anybody else. So I truly believe that the nurture we have in Christ and what parents can incorporate in their homes can very much compensate for the nature issues. Nevertheless, I think we need to acknowledge that there are some differences. Now, I want to get in the area of marriage for a moment, because now we're looking at, you know, intercultural marriages and so forth. Now, how do you deal, for example, with stereotypes in marriage. Let's say somebody wanted to marry a Hispanic man, a white person wanted to marry a Hispanic man. Somebody came up to us and says, do you know that Hispanics generally have this problem and that problem and this sin problem and that sin problem? Well, you know what? There are some cultures that actually do have some sin problems that are different than other cultures. For example, there are cannibalistic cultures that tend to have a problem with cannibalism. There are materialistic cultures like America, for example, that have huge problems worshiping materials and glorifying self and not really sacrificing self for others. Okay, so we have problems in this culture too. So every culture does have its own particular sin problems. But Dave, I think the point that needs to be made is, number one, you don't use the stereotype to paintbrush everybody from that particular culture. So in other words, you get to know the people involved. You don't say, well, all Hispanics are X, Y, or Z, and therefore, so-and-so must be X, Y, or Z, but you get to know that person. You don't do the profiling and the stereotyping. That's okay in the airports. We'll let them do that, okay? They can profile a little bit if they want to. But to say, for example, that all Hispanics are fiery-tempered, or violent or something like that would not be appropriate. I mean, that may be a problem within the culture, but you need to get to know the fella and say, well, does he have that problem or not? Secondly, the redemption of Jesus Christ, we have to believe, transcends all cultural sins. Doesn't matter what culture you're from. And Dave, I think the people that are afraid of certain races and cultures because they might exemplify more of a particular sin than another is really a problem of denying the power of the redemption and resurrection of Jesus Christ to overcome some of these sins that, yeah, they've been in a particular family, they've been passed on to the third and fourth generation of those that hate God. Okay, granted, that does happen. Let's acknowledge that, but let's acknowledge that Jesus' redemption is more powerful than all of that.
Well, every culture has their sins. Now, there are some sins that seem to be more enculturated in certain cultures. For instance, you might say that Irish people tend to get drunk more often. So I'm not going to marry an Irishman because he's going to be a drunkard. Well, maybe, maybe not. The point is that we don't try and conform to the Irish subculture or to the American subculture, but rather we transform by the renewing of our mind in Christ Jesus. We seek a outward expression, a culture in our family that is rooted and grounded in the word of Christ. So it doesn't matter what your past sins were. We're going to put off the old man. We're going to put on the new. If you're marrying a person who has that mindset that they want to be transformed by the word of God into the very image of Christ, it doesn't matter where they came from. It's where they're going that matters.
That's exactly right. And yet compatibility may still be an issue. Right now, Dave, I just want to focus in on who I would approve for my daughter to marry. And I think compatibility is an issue. Number one, the Bible says that faith compatibility is an issue. For example, 1 Corinthians tells us don't be unequally yoked with the unbelievers. So let's make sure that there won't be an unequally yoked situation here. I would, by the way, include an unequal yoking in the area of the faith, even between, say, Catholics and Baptists, or Mormons and Pentecostals, for example. I would say that we got to be very careful not to allow for some unequal yoking in that regard. And we might even say in some more narrow issues, let's say that my daughter was looking at a young man who thought that sending children to public schools was appropriate. I think I'd have an extra 150 questions to ask him in a situation like that. So, Dave, wouldn't you say that compatibility, in terms of what you believe about the Bible, about God, about these sorts of things, are important?
Yes, you must be able to share a vision, because you're going to go somewhere together. You're going to be united. God's going to unite you as one. So you've got to be going the same place. One doesn't go two places at the same time. It's got to go one place at the same time. So there's got to be a vision. There's got to be some value similarities, and yet there's going to be some differences too. I mean, let's say the obvious. There's going to be a gender difference.
Yeah.
And so we're going to require some differences.
Sure, exactly. And those differences can be beautiful, and we need to celebrate the differences. But again, the unity ultimately ought to be found around the faith. It ought to be found around the fact that our daughters and sons will marry those within the faith who agree that Jesus is the Savior and they hopefully will live with the love that that he gives to all of us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we wrap up the program, please understand that we are all ultimately all from the same man. God created all of us with diversity, and he has adopted us out of every culture, out of every nation, every language and tongue. And he loved each and every one of us, all in from various diverse backgrounds, in the same way, such that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. We have all received his love from all these different backgrounds, and we are all one day going to be in one body, praising God and worshiping him, giving him glory forever and ever. And let's start doing that right now. I'd say let's start racially integrating our families. Let's start racially integrating our churches. The fact that we have racially disintegrated churches is an illustration of the weakness of the faith in the 21st century, my friends. We ought to have tremendous diversity and tremendous unity within the body of Christ. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Let me invite you to interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
We want to thank Fast Track Steel Buildings for sponsoring Generations Today. If your church or school is looking to expand, call Fast Track at 303-797-0991. They have buildings perfect for churches, gymnasiums, agricultural barns, riding arenas, and more. Call for a free brochure, 303-797-0991, and get your project started on the right track with Fast Track. 303-797-0991. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here. There's a principle that has never let me down. I do business with the people I believe in, and that's why I go with George Sechrist Insurance for all my insurance needs. George is a man of honesty, integrity, and service. George will go the extra mile for you. I've seen him give up himself sacrificially for the needs of others. You can count on George. Auto, life, home, call George at George Sechrist Insurance, 303-979-1288. That's 303-979-1288.
Hi, I'm Henry Ryanga with Christian Leaders Institute. Christian Leaders Institute trains pastors and leaders for home discipleship, family-integrated churches. Hey, if you're a homeschool father, a homeschool student, maybe you want to study online in your home at ChristianLeadersInstitute.org. We're offering complete scholarships if you're accepted to study. Go to ChristianLeadersInstitute.org.